Wani Wan and the coach talking sports around the world. It's been a busy week going on, Juan. We had the NFL draft. We got the NBA playoffs. The NFL draft took place on this past week.
Yeah, it happened. I think it was a record, like 6 quarterbacks chosen, you know, crazy early. You know, the quarterback position is the most valuable position in the NFL. So, you know, it happens.
6 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was looking over, it was 32 NFL teams.
Yes, sir.
In football league. And I was looking out of the 32 first round picks. I just couldn't help but to notice how many of them were black football players.
I was going to say baseball players, we were talking about something else. But yeah, it happens, you know.
So what does that say to you? I mean, you know, if you go to college, predominant on the field is black players. So therefore, you got a pool to draft from. So, I mean, wouldn't we think if you had more African-American baseball players playing college baseball, which is the unspoken that they don't talk about, that you don't have African-Americans on the collegiate level and not on the high school level, we would have more of them to draft from?
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, you know what I mean? But for me, it could also be up to the athlete. You know, what sport does the athlete want to play? You know, if we're looking at the 70s and 80s, you're looking at boxing. Boxing was big in the African-American community. Now, maybe it's not so big, you know? But it might be also the athlete's preference what sport they want to play.
Or the athlete preference as to whether they're given a chance or an opportunity or not to play that sport comes into it, too.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a lot of variables go into it.
Okay, a lot of variables. Now you want to use big words for me. Okay, go ahead, man. This is my show, okay? Might be the future Wadi.
It's our show, man.
It's our show, but don't be using the big words with me. Variables. You know, I only got a first grade education.
You know, I'm a math guy, so in math, there's variables. There's different things that you take into account and could change the outcome.
In the hood, we don't use that word. In the hood, we say either it is or it ain't. You coming up with variables.
Okay? You go, ain't. It's okay. From the hood.
And it's straight from the book of Ebonics. See, you don't know nothing about Ebonics, okay? So we had a good draft. I mean, all the hype is over with. As cat is out of the day. The Bears got their man, Caleb Williams.
Hey, they got a good pick. You know what I mean? He might be a staple. He might be somebody that you build around. In the quarterback position, you want to, again, we're baseball guys, so you want to kind of compare it to a pitcher, but a pitcher times 5 because your pitcher can only pitch 1 game. If he's a key starter. If you have a quarterback, a cornerstone key quarterback, he plays every single game. He plays every single down, and he competes on your offensive side of the field every single play. So he's a very valuable commodity.
Isn't that what they supposed to have with Justin Fields?
Yeah, but apparently upper management said, hey, he wasn't our guy.
And I'm not against that, but I mean, you know, now you didn't draft your first round quarterback. And if you don't surround him, bring the chemistry together, make it work. So you put Justin Fields out there on the field. You had no offensive line, anybody in football. Matter of fact, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles can tell you that he didn't have nobody to block for him. To keep him from getting concussions after concussions after concussions. Okay? And then if you ain't got no time, drop back or the 3 drop back, whatever you want to call it. If you ain't got no time, you can't look downfield to find no open receiver. You can't look downfield to call an audible because before you know it, you getting smacked upside your head by the defensive man that's rushing in there on you. And what you gonna do? You gonna just pick yourself up and smile and say, ooh, next play.
Yeah, football is one of them contact sports where, hey, they're gonna hit you. They're gonna get you down. They're gonna try to knock you down. And I think all sports is psychological. There's a psychological aspect to all sports, but football is similar to boxing where it's a contact sport. So they're gonna hit you and they're gonna talk some smack to you.
Why? First of all, I told you about them. They were psychological. Okay, I got a first grade explanation, so we ain't gonna be using those cold words on my show.
Well,
Okay,
we're gonna
on our
educate
show.
maybe.
Okay, so football is a contact sport, but running a Mack
Yes,
truck
sir.
to your quarterback because you got ponies guarding the defense ain't gonna translate in no win. That man under pressure all the time. And if you don't make no adjustments, they made a few tweaks and a few adjustments over the last couple of years, a little bit. They got some wide receivers. I don't know how much they strengthened that offensive line. What you think gonna happen to Caleb Williams? Man gonna have a concussion on his first play.
It's going to be the same thing, like you're saying. I know we had in a previous show, we were debating, should they trade Justin Fields or not, or should they, what they're going to do. Upper management made that decision to trade him and then, draft Caleb Williams. So we're going to have to see how the dominoes fall and see what happens. But like you're saying, if you don't improve that offensive line, is the game really going to change for the Bears?
No, no, and no. And the thing that gets me is, and again, I don't know on Justin Fields if they should have kept him or not, because he didn't display the savviness of a NFL quarterback to win and to win consistently. And again, you don't know if that was because the offensive line was that terrible or he relied too much on his athletic ability because he could turn around and become a running back. Go from quarterback to running back in the same situation, pick up you 15, 20 yards. So because
Right.
he never got a chance to establish his ground game, so to speak, we don't know. Now, time will tell where he goes, but now you got Caleb Williams coming in there. And what people don't really want to admit to, I was talking to somebody the other day, you're really in a rebuild now, because I don't care how good or how many people go put Caleb Williams in the Hall of Fame. When you get out there on that NFL football field as the starting quarterback, you got to be groomed. You got to learn. You got to find out well, you go find out it's a different game. It's a quicker game. Those defensive men get to you quick. You got to make quick snap decisions. And you ain't going to learn that in the first season. So you got some people already putting the Bears in a playoff position because they got Caleb Williams for this year, for next year.
Yeah, I don't think the quarterback position is the most important position in the NFL. But like you're saying, they don't have the pieces around him to say, hey, we're going to go to the playoffs. What did they win last year? Three, four games? So you're going to tell me that one guy is going to make them win seven or eight more games without the rest of the team?
Well, technically, they got about four games that they lost because the defense just broke down in the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter. So you tack that on, they should have been easily a playoff-bound team. But I mean, again, that goes back to the whole everybody clicking, the offense, the defense, the offensive line, the wide receivers, the tight end. Everybody got to be clicking to make a complete team. And that, at the end of the day, the Bears were not.
Right.
They were not. And at the end of the day, somebody got to fall on the sword. In baseball, use the manager fall on the sword and get fired. In football, or in the Bears case, the quarterback fell on the sword and he didn't do the job.
Yeah, they end up deciding to go another route, and I mean that happens sometimes in sports, but to me, a lot of times the front office guys, they never really played the game. And they just go on analytics or probability. And probability is, I mean, that's basically going to a casino and say, hey, we're gonna let the chips fall where they may, the backside of it is you're dealing with humans, you're dealing with people. So sometimes, that imagine Justin Fields being that guy that got traded. sometimes that lights a fire in a player, and that player becomes a better player. So I'm kind of interested to see how Justin Fields is going to perform next year. He might go into training camp and be like, all right, the Bears didn't want me. Guess what? My new team wants me. I'm going to go out there and light it up. That's just sports, you know?
Yeah, and then sometimes, you know, you need to change atmosphere. You need to change atmosphere. And that may work for him because bottom line, 3 years with the Bears, he got paid. At the end of the day, he got paid. Now, you know, and he goes still get paid for at least another season, if not longer. So, I mean, what it come down to, as it is in all professional sports, it's a short stay. I mean, if you got 10 years, 12 years, 4 years in professional sports, it's still a short stay compared to the fact that you got to continue on with a livelihood past that. So, the best things these young guys can do is learn why they're making that big money, to invest it and have some security when the game is over so they don't wind up homeless outdoors, but they got somewhere they can live a quality life, because, you know, some of these guys get this big money and they just spend, like ain't gonna be hard. They don't save for no rainy day, and that's where, you know, having some good advisors come in that, you know, you don't need the Bentleys and you don't need 6-7 cars because you can only drive one a day. You don't need a house that you got 12 cars parked in the garage.
Right.
And who's the boxer that built the house and never got to move into it?
Holyfield.
Vander Holyfield building him a multi-million-dollar mansion and never got to live in it and wound up going down financially from there. I'm trying. Right. I'm not trying to say the man was broke on the air, but he never got to live in it. And then the thing is that he spent multi-million dollars. I don't remember how many millions it was, but then it was going to cost him millions of dollars a year to maintain the house.
Right.
You know, you get your mansion. Yeah. I ain't going out there.
Yeah.
I ain't going out there cutting no grass or no mansion 2-3 times a week.
Right.
I ain't trimming no hedges. And I had a house with a swimming pool in it. Let me tell you something. A pool is more expensive than kids. You got to, what do you got to, you got
to keep,
you got to keep that pool. Then you got to work allergies getting in the pool. And then the water turned from clear water to that little swampy green water left. And then you got to keep that. What you call it in there? Chlorine in the pool?
Fungus. Yeah, there's a fungus or bacteria.
Yeah, look, a pool is expensive. And let me tell you something. If I'm making LeBron money, then you can afford Michael Jordan money. You can afford to have somebody, a crew to come in and take care of that pool, cut the guard. But over time, you know, when the money gone, you find out that money you could have had in your pocket. You could get you a little three-bedroom house with 2 bathrooms. What do you need a house? 5 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms.
You can only sleep in one.
You only sleep in one and you can only poop in one. But I got to choose which one of the 10 bathrooms today I'm going to sleep in. That just don't make no sense.
And then again, when you're a millionaire, you buy those houses, you have an HOA, so you got to pay the HOA fee. Like you're saying, if you don't maintain it, they're going to fine you, then you're going to pay more money.
And then you got to pay property taxes. And
right?
Look, I tell you, a small house. Okay. Now, I can't even imagine a big old house. I got a friend of mine. He told me some years ago his mortgage. He lived in L.A. I think his mortgage was $25,000 a month. $25,000 a month is his house note. That don't include no light, no gas. That don't include...
No utilities
in the house. That don't include feeding your family. That don't know car. No, $25,000, which is $250,000 a year, just on a mortgage.
Right.
Ain't happening. If I can't pay cash for it, and I ain't got me annuity put in the bank that's gonna pay my taxes up for the next 20 years, ain't happening.
That's a key thing you said right there. Like, if you have money, pay it off, and all you have to do is pay property taxes for the rest of your life. But A lot of those guys don't see it that way. They think it's going to keep rolling in. The money's going to keep rolling in. Unfortunately, yeah. They have family members, friends, whoever. Take their money.
They call them leeches in the hood. They call them leeches.
Exactly.
Excuse me. The proper phrase they use now, they got their entourage.
Right.
They got their entourage. So when I go to the Super Bowl, just me going, I got to take my entourage. So I got 10, 15 people in my entourage. I got to fly them in on my dime. So they the entourage. They the leeches. Then I got to pay for their tickets to get into the game. Because, you know, those stars don't get in the – and we ain't sitting in those stands. We sitting in a skybox where they got food and this and that. I got to have the limos to drive us there. All that coming out on my dime.
Right.
And all that's good and fine. And then I got to have my meat coat. I got to have my cell phone. Then I got to have the other cell phone that my assistant answer and take all my calls and then give me the phone when I need to talk to this person. All this stuff. When you got the money, that's good. But when the money gone, you sitting there, man, I didn't need this. Man, I didn't need that. They don't think like that.
And then your agent also takes a little piece.
Agent, and I forgot what they get in football. I think it's 1%, 2%. But in baseball, the maximum age can get is 5% of your contract. But that's your contract for being your agent for representing you. But then smart agents got other assets that they use to get, they do your taxes for you, or they handle your account, your finance. So therefore, that's additional fee. You come to town, if you plan for in LA and you come to Chicago, they got to rent a car for you in Chicago. All those are additional fees that they tack on and they give you the bill for.
The chauffeur.
So before you know it, and then you got to have it when you get a certain status, you got to have a security. You got to have security details. They arrange you private security. All that's coming out your paycheck. So you get a player that signed a $200 million contract over 4 years, which is $50 million a year. First of all, that $50 million, about $25 million of it is going in taxes.
It might be up to $40 million, 35-40%.
You'd be paying 40-60% of your income in taxes.
Right.
Federal taxes, then you got state tax, then you got county tax.
That's off the top, right.
If you don't pay it, you're going to be like Wesley Snipes, kind of revenue coming to get that house.
Or Lauryn Hill, they're going to throw you in jail.
Now they go seize your bank account. So you sit there with $10 million in the bank,
and you're going to seize your bank account, and then they're going to take you to court and then put you in jail.
Then you go use that debit card with $10 million in the bank, it's declining. What? Don't play with internal revenue, okay? I ask you, don't play with. Unless you're right. And you know that's how to shut down the and don't pay no taxes. But they ain't got to that level yet.
Politician, right?
You said that, not me. You said that, not me. Okay, I was trying to be nice on the show. I ain't trying to get put off the show.
I'm just saying, you know.
But yeah, you know, and I think I know in Major League Baseball, I know about other sports, because I'm more baseball man. Now they had classes for the players to teach them how to manage their money, because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the minimum major league salary is, I think, $750,000 now.
It might be.
It used to be $500,000. That means just to be on the 26 players on the roster, the minimum you could pay is $750,000.
Right.
It used to be $500,000, $500,000, but, you know, with the players.
Inflation, right?
So that means, you know, they teach you that, you know, that's the minimum you can make to be a rookie on the roster. Now, as you go on after 2 years or so of service, and you go for arbitration, which is based on the performance you put out on the field, you can say, well, I'm worth $5 million, and the team may say, well, you're worth $2 million. And arbitration might meet in the middle and say, you're worth $3.5 million. So then you're getting $3.5 million a year.
Right.
All of a sudden, Uncle Buddy, Junebug, Susie, Sally, all your family members that you didn't even know your family members, they coming with their hands out. Hey, Juan,
right.
My gas is due. and I got a $2,000 gas bill. Girl, how you get a two? I ain't paid my gas in 2 years.
Right.
And they crying on you to begin then. You know, all the players by their mama house. Okay, I right, go for it. By your mama house. Give your,
my give daddy, your, hey, you got to hook up mama and daddy. But
take care of them. They took care.
Right.
They took care of you. So I'm all good with that. Then some right. of them got to put Auntie and Junebug and Uncle Buddy on payroll. They ain't doing nothing, but they on payroll.
Right.
So, you know, all they teach you how to manage your money. And then you got all kinds of scams because everybody running at you with investments. And I got this idea, and they take your money. That's this rock. That they even get the best of the best.
Right.
So you
that's
know,
true.
You know, they teach you how to manage your money, and then they teach you about, you know, your professional athlete. You know, women are available to you at the drop of the dime, especially more high profile you are. So they teach you that you got to be careful out there with your extramarital or premarital affairs out there, because it's gonna come back. Because these women today, all they want, you know, you gotta understand, guys meet women in nightclubs and this and that. They have what we in the hood call a one night stand, and that's all it is. But to them women, they think it's a relationship,
right?
So they going out there and they go try to get pregnant.
A meal ticket,
same thing, one night stand, meal ticket. But they go try to get pregnant because now they want child support for you. So you'd be surprised some of the stories I had heard from former major league players about what women will do after y'all relationship to impregnate themselves.
Right.
Because, you know, most men use protection, use quote unquote a rubber. And I've heard stories how they use. This is an X-rated show for a second here. They use the rubber. When they throw it in the garbage while they're in the bathroom, the girl will get the rubber and put it back up in her so she can try to get pregnant so she can get child support.
I think a perfect example of that is Trevor Bauer a couple years ago. You know, he messed with some girl, did some freaky stuff, and then he got kind of expelled from MLB. He went to overseas to play ball. He came back. He's trying to get in the MLB. The girl that I was trying to expose him and extort him, she's facing charges now, you know? But Trevor Bauer wasn't smart about it, and he did whatever he did. I think it was a relationship from an inbox on social media. And, hey, the dude was making $27 million a year. $27 million a year as one of the top MLB pitchers. And he ruined that over, I would say, a lack of self-control, a lack of self-discipline. And he's reaping the repercussions of that. Now, no MLB team wants to touch him because of the bad publicity, the bad rap that he has. You know, a judge looked at it. Federal judge, a state judge, nobody wanted to press charges against Trevor Bauer because the girl got what she wanted. Now she's being sued because, you know, whatever. Trevor Bauer suing her and all this other stuff. But the guy ruined his career.
And this is what happened. I mean, you know, it's a whole lot goes on, not only in the sport, in the entertainment world.
Right.
You know about that you know, deals with people that just see you as a mark, what they call it, an opportunity, a meal ticket for them to get rich with get rich teams.
Again, we're baseball guys, so that's a baseball story, but there's got to be tons of them in the music industry and NBA, NHL, golf, all over. If you look at Tiger Woods, he was going to be the greatest golfer of all time. And he started cheating on his lady, started messing up. And after that, his whole life derailed. Even his career derailed. I mean, Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods. He was going to be the greatest ever. He was going to win the most majors ever. He was going to be the best ever. Because of a lack of self-discipline, a lack of self-control, he ruined that.
And this is what happened. Not only that, it happens in the business world. You know, but it's just something that's not talked about. and those that's in that circle, in that context, they know. You know, they know, but I mean, it wasn't talked about back in the day. Now with this social media, everything's out, and you know, everything is accepted today. Back there, you know, certain lifestyles weren't accepted. I'll just leave it there. I ain't gonna get on no controversy talking about, but I ain't gonna get no controversy. But you know, you go back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s when you had shows on TV like I Love Lucy. Ricky and Lucy was married, but they slept in two separate beds. They didn't do that. Now today, they in the bed doing everything. They don't put no cover over them. They just show everything. Show the behind, the kissing, and this.
There's no censorship. No censorship at all.
And 20 years ago, in the 30s, 40s, society didn't accept that stuff. It was just unspoken. Now they accept everything. They accept cursing on TV, cursing on in the music. Rap music and I don't, rap music ain't my cup of tea. It ain't my cup of tea. Now you got a young, we be on a road trip and they had some of these young guys and they get bob to the beat and dum 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 dum. I didn't understand a word. They were saying, you know, we riding in the van and they listen to their music and going one in out the other. Not so long, you know me, I got to put my gospel tape in. Oh, Coach, we don't want to hear that. No, I didn't listen to what you want to hear. You can listen to what I got now. Okay, as you said, then you say we was a team.
Right.
Okay, I heard your music, your rap music, your beep, boom, boom, boom. Now you finna hear my Near the Cross, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. You finna hear my music now. Okay? But, you know, generations have become so accepted. And the same way in the entertainment and sports world, we've been accepted on perversion and things that were just unheard of, and consequently we got a messed up society today.
Like you're saying, I mean, we're both men of faith, so it's worldly things. The worldly things have impacted everything, you know what I mean? So, you know, it depends on real men of integrity, real men of character to step up and try to, you know, influence the future generations, because really, that's all we have is our future seed, like the future people that we have, the young kids. You know, we got to invest in them and help them out to be good citizens of our societies for the future.
But I mean, those that control, it's all about money, power, and influence. And those that control the money have the power, they have the influence, and they dictate what you watch on TV. What you see in the movies, what you hear in the entertainment, and we force feed it. I mean, you know, we go in another country where we still got a king and queen. And when there's a marriage or affair, it's all over the news in this country. So when I turn on news, I gotta watch it whether I want to or not. I gotta hear about it whether I want to or not. That's why our system has been digested with so much stuff that has really hurt society as a whole. Negative.
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying, it's a systemic thing, you know, from the very top to the bottom. Anything that happens in life, it always starts with the leadership first, and then it trickles down to, you know, the average Joe.
And the top controls what happens at the bottom. I don't care what nobody tell you. They tell you that, you know, yeah, whoever control, I've always maintained, whoever controls the flow of the wealth controls the economic and the destiny of a people. You decide. I decide if I own the business and you work for me, I decide that this business is going to be open from 9 to 5. And you go come in and work from 12 to 5. I set the dictate. And if you want the job, this is what you do. I decide, Caleb Williams, if you're going to be the starting quarterback or not. Here's what we're going to pay you. This is going to be your signing bonus. And if you accept it, you play for the Bears. If you don't, okay, well, we move on.
Yeah, Tupac called it the haves and the have-nots. When you're the haves, you dictate the terms. When you're the have-nots, you got to follow them terms.
And most of the time, you the have-not, so you accept the terms. You accept the conditions.
Right, you have no other option.
And that's what's going on in our society. We accept things that we have no control over. They tell you got control. They tell you get out and vote. They tell you to voice your opinion, but you have no opinion. You have no say. So when the powers that be make up in their mind, this is what it's going to be, you accept it or you move on, because we're going to move on past you.
Right. You know, I've learned a lot of times we don't have any much control over anything else but ourselves, you know? All you can do is control yourself, be a good human, be a good person, influence those around you as best you can, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, well, this is what's going on. I mean, I can't help it. If you want to go to the ball games, it'll cost you what they saying, $400 for the women's basketball tickets is what they're going from down there in Indiana.
Well, I think that's happening because of the first round pick. I mean, if you're going to go over here in the West Coast or somewhere else, it might be $20. You know what I mean? So that's a high ticket seller right now.
So the demand dictates the price, huh?
I mean, it depends on the popularity. You know, if you're a popular person, you know, intrigue and people want to see you. It's just like a concert. You're the most popular guy right now, Taylor Swift or this person, that person. Hey, you know, people pay $2,000, $3,000 just go see you in the concert.
Okay, so we got about 3 minutes left. So let's talk about this women's basketball, because supposedly it's becoming bigger than men's basketball. Do you buy that?
No, not at all. Come on. I don't even think they could fill the lower bowl. Like, I'm all for equality. I'm all for advancement. I'm all for all that good stuff. But come on. There's no way. Like, I'd have to look at the numbers. I'd have to see the national ratings, and I have to see, you know, where things are. But the NBA is always going to rule in basketball. I mean, I'm totally for WNBA. I'm totally for them and advancing and stuff like that. But no way. There's no way.
Then you got them on TV again. That's where they control the psyche. What you get. Now they complain because the women basketball players don't get paid nowhere near what the men basketball players get.
They're not buying no tickets. They're not buying no jerseys. They're not looking the search on online. Like, come on. The NBA has been around since like the 50s. And you're going to tell me WNBA has been around for 20, 25 years and they should be paid the same. They should have the same influence. Like, come on, man. I'm totally for advancement. I'm totally for equality. But if people are not buying your tickets, who's got to pay? How are they going to make more money?
But they said that the girls basketball in NCAA tournament had bigger ratings than the boys basketball.
For one year?
I'll tell you what the media is saying. It's the women on the media that they got hyping this up. So, I mean, is that part of the mind game?
That's part of the agenda.
Oh, okay.
There's an agenda for everything. Again, I'm all for equality, for advancement of color people, advancement for genders, all this other stuff. But the bottom line, if the money's not there, the same thing is going on in soccer right now. So men's soccer is way more popular than women's soccer, you know. But here in America, the women want to be paid the same as the men. And if the money's not there, the ratings aren't there, all this other stuff there is not there, who's going to pay for it? You know, in other countries, it's different. But here in America, there have been the last couple of years, there have been controversy over the national team and the women and the men, you know, who should get paid more. There should be equality, this and that. But if the money's not there, like, who's going to pay for it?
So as we get ready to go off air, what you telling me is all the propaganda game.
That's part of it. And also, it's the money. Like, if the money is not there, like, where's the money going?
They send the money there. They drawing bigger crowds, bigger audience, bigger TV views, about 30 seconds.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers. Again, I'm all for equality. I'm all for equal pay, all that good stuff. But we'll have to see what happens.
Coach Juan, peace out to the next show.
God bless y'all.
It's a wrap.